wanna know how to find it. Seek it out when they hide it. You know it's in the bag when it's an easy grab. But come on, take a chance now. So go, 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 geocache, geocache. And if you need help, we're right there in a flash. If you got a question, just call in and ask. Uncover the stash on the Geocaching Podcast. The Geocaching Podcast.
Welcome to the Geocaching Podcast, episode 376, recorded live on November 5th, 2014. I'm your host, Head Hard Hat, with
Scott Burks and
Steven Zad Infinitum.
You can join our chat room and watch our live video stream, plus participate with us as we record this episode. All this and more can be found at www.geocachingpodcast.com/live. Be sure to contact us via our voicemail line, excuse me, at 630-31-VOICE. And also find us on Twitter at geocachingpodcast.com/Twitter and Facebook at geocachingpodcast.com/Facebook. This episode is sponsored by cache-advance.com for all your geocaching needs. Cache-advance.com. Go find it. Yes, we were talking about all the wonderfulness of fall. That's right. Autumn is out there. The leaves are falling. You can hear them scream as they jump. Ah! And yes, it is a great time of year, except when you got sinuses. So leaf mold, you suck.
Yeah.
I just have to say.
Yeah, mine have been icky.
Icky is definitely the word.
So, yeah, icky.
You may see us drinking hot beverages because, one, it is cash or coffee, and two, it's going to help, I hope, with the sinuses. So we'll see.
Yeah, I mean, I had that bronchitis issue a couple weeks ago, and it's just now it's just my nose and sinuses are just.
Yes. You know. I believe that's a technical and medical nice term, too. Yeah.
It is. It's my doctor actually went, so it's pleh. And I said, exactly. He said, yeah, okay.
How do you spell it? How many Z's are in that? I'm just saying.
I think it's a bunch of P's and a bunch of T's, actually.
Yes. Pleh. I'm telling you. But the bronchitis part finally broke, I take it?
Oh, my God, yes. Thank the Lord. Yeah, it was brutal. Yeah, I could actually breathe now. It's really nice.
Wow.
Yeah, it's
nothing like
nicer.
Running around with, you know, 104 fever and all the rest of it. Because usually for me, it goes cold, brah, and then pneumonia. So that way, there's no bronchitis.
Yeah.
It's just brah, instant to pneumonia.
Yeah, I avoided the pneumonia, but I definitely had the bronchitis. But the Z-Pack did it, man. I mean, the Z-Pack kicked my butt, but, you know, God bless that Z-Pack, man. It's like God's gift to man. It's like, here, you are now better. You know, it's just so good. It's so good. I don't know what it's like. It zaps you. It's like it resets everything, you know. And it takes then it screws up your body for a couple of days, and then you're good to go.
Yeah, you wander around walking. Who am I? But
oh God, it's horrible. But it so works, man. It works.
That's awesome. Great to have you back, man. We love it. Let's see. Going on to geocaching stuff this week. I'm gonna skip mine because that's actually one of the first subjects we're going to be talking about tonight. But imagine this, having the task of setting up a geotrail and having to make 150-plus geocaches in one fell swoop. That's the task that we went to in this last weekend, and I'll give you some more details about that in just a little bit. Scott, I don't know if you even had a chance to go out geocaching, did you?
Yes, I did. I went out last weekend. It was a gorgeous weekend. Yeah, it was
awesome.
Beautiful.
What'd you get
out there? Got a couple of challenges that I've been sitting on for a while that I just haven't gotten around to getting. So I went picked those up and cleaned up some of the woods near my old house. So just a great, you know, it was absolutely beautiful out. It was, you know, in mid 60s and sunny and just gorgeous for our, you know, for late October, early November. Just beautiful.
I'll tell you what, hang on to it now because in another couple of weeks it's going to be where did that weather go?
Literally another couple of weeks. Yeah, it's going to get brutal pretty quick here. Yeah.
Wow. And Corey, with your notes, all I see is the word snow front.
Well, yeah, because they keep saying something about snow coming. And, you know, whenever they say snow, it's, I mean, they don't play around. you know, so Montana
they're not
play.
They're not teasing you like it may snow.
So, yeah, I was able to get out and get some caches, and, you know, I moved to a new part of Montana, a little bit north of where I was, and so I got to play a little bit and just putt around and clean up some of my area. So it was kind of nice. And got to toot around a little bit before the snow freeze comes in. So I'm happy.
You know you're in trouble when you're in a place that it says, "Welcome to winter. We hope you survive."
is northern Montana, is that worse or better for winter, or the same?
Well, I mean, it's great if you like to come and you like to ski and snowboard. I'm right down the mountain from a good hill to go do both. So I'm looking forward to doing that this year. Mm-hmm.
So the only thing between you and the North Pole now literally is a couple of herd of caribou.
Yeah. Sometimes we do beat out the North Pole as far as temperature.
Wow.
So it's last year we were able to beat out the North Pole a couple times.
Wow.
Wow.
Well, we're going to definitely curious each and every week of the status of you and your dwelling and your family there.
And yet he chooses to live there. That's the best part.
I love it.
Chooses.
I'm just saying, I'm living in a spot for 7 years. I don't even have a snow shovel, so I'm just saying.
I don't need an air conditioner. I am so happy.
All right. There is pluses. It's all choices. Mm-mm-mm. All right, let's move on to the podcast roundup, letting our viewers know what's going on in the geocaching podcasting community. Coming up this week with Geo Gearheads is episode 149. They are doing Pocket Queries 1. DeBear returns as they discuss how to create and use pocket queries. And I'm curious about this statement. They're not just for GPS, or they're not just for creating GPX files.
Mm-hmm.
Hmm. So I'm thinking there's some hidden metadata in there they're playing around with, and I'm going to be curious to see what happens. But be sure to go and check out tomorrow on Thursday for Geo Gearheads and find out what's going on with Pocket Queries 1. Also tomorrow, we have the Geo Snippets Reboot podcast, and we're going to have our first geocacher spotlight in a long time, where we're going to be having Memphis Mafia on. And this is a group of people from Colorado that is just amazing. They just did some... Talk about your Mile High Club when it comes to geocaching. They were up in some pretty high altitudes geocaching, plus all the other things that they get into, the Colorado GeoArt and a whole bunch of other things. They will be spotlighted tomorrow on the Geo Snippets Reboot podcast, so we're looking forward to that. Now we're going to move on to the geocaching question of the day.
Geocaching question of the day.
Hey cachers, I'm Lookout Lisa from Cache Advance, your host for the geocaching question of the day. Well, I've been caching since 2002, and I've been in the business of geocaching since 2005. Monday through Thursdays, we ask our followers on Twitter, Facebook, and Google+ a question about geocaching.
We recently asked, what is your favorite drink or beverage to bring while out geocaching? Well, after tallying all the answers, we found that the vast majority, or 66% of cachers, prefer water. Coming in next was coffee and tea at 15%, followed by a tie at 4% each for soda pops such as Mountain Dew or Pepsi, and sports drinks like Gatorade. Well, beer actually garnered 3%, and there's an honorable mention of 1% for lemonade. So here's what we heard. Carol on Facebook said, water, water, and more water. Rich on Facebook shared, coffee in the morning, Gatorade the rest of the day. And Matthew on Facebook caches a lot like I do. He said, water for those caches that are going to require a hike to reach. If I'm doing a bunch of park and grabs and it's still early in the morning, then I'll have my thermos of coffee in the car. Well, you know, Matthew, I also will like to have a thermos of coffee or stop in at a coffee shop a little later in the day, too. So it is my one addiction is coffee. Well, I do live in the Northwest, so I think that's okay. Well, as always, we really enjoyed hearing about your favorite geocaching beverages. And you can, too. If you follow us, Cash Advance, on Facebook, Twitter, and Google+, for the geocaching question of the day. Thanks and happy caching.
Well, thank you, Lisa. And you know what? Don't let them fool you, folks. I remember when the GeoSnippets Reboot podcast, when we had ladies' night, I believe the number one beverage that was brought up there was wine when it came to the lady geocachers. I'm just saying, I'm sure there's a percentage in there somewhere. All right. Moving up next, we got some listener feedback. Hang on, Corey. Wait for it.
Listener feedback.
Ooh.
I love that jingle. That is one of my favorite jingles. So if you want to hear that jingle as much as I want to hear that jingle, call in with your feedback.
Oh, Corey.
All right. So this came in last week from Robert Peters, the co-owner of Global Caching. And it says, "Hi, Andy and Corey. I am Robert Peters, co-owner of Global Caching EU.
What the hell am
and
I?
And the developer of Gap.
He didn't say hello
to me? I
saw
your podcast yesterday, wow. So this was a couple days ago, about Gap. And we want to thank you for your very positive review. Regarding your review, I have some comments I would like to add." Okay, humdrum right here. Munzee import has been discontinued. Due to the fact that Munzee.com has stopped the ability for others to download the data. Gap was using the site Munzee.dfx.at, but that had to stop too. This is too bad, and I need to fix this on the Gap website regarding the features. So it's no longer available.
Man, you lit up like a Christmas tree when you saw that.
I was happy. I was like, hey, you know, because I haven't been able to go do that. So I was trying to work a workaround.
And hold on. You haven't been able to do what?
Go Munzee.
Go Munzee?
Yes.
Go Munzee.
He was very excited as one of the features was there was a really easy import to pull in besides not only the GPX files for geocaches, you could also pull in straight out of Munzee.
Well, dude, they have an app on your phone. You could just pull it up on your phone.
Yeah, but
my wife limited me to one geolocation activity.
Wow, that's a short leash,
Corey. And she said geocaching is that one.
We will bring up marital bliss with geocaching and other location-less device games
happy
on another
life
show.
Is a happy life.
Moving on.
Hi, honey. I love you. And another thing you mentioned was the chat. You were not sure how it worked, and therefore I will try to explain how it works. This was the chat feature in Gap. Users are signed in with their live account. This means that you will need to have Gap authorized from the live API, which most do, I assume. This means that when you open the chat, Gap signs into the Gap chat server with the live API token, kind of password to access geocaching.com. The chat server is checking the identity of the client and gets its name from geocaching.com. Oh, my nerdy stuff. Sorry about that. With that chat, you can chat with people, but it's more. You can let other people follow you. This means that if you select a geocache, it will be selected on the other clients who follow you as well. If they don't have the geocache, they can download it with a single click. So if you have any questions or your audience has any questions, I am happy to answer them. And
go ahead.
Yeah, I have a question. Is he going to make it for the Mac or is it just Windows?
Well, we're going to try to have him on. That's the last couple of things that he had on here, as well as that he wants to be on the show to talk and answer any questions that our fellow watchers and listeners have about Gap. I think it's an excellent application, and I think that's something that we can bring up with him. The only other solution, and Scott, I don't know if you've ever had any success with GSAC with this. I know Daryl has to a degree, was to use a Mac emulator for Windows and try to bring it up that way.
Put it in that champagne thing or whatever.
Is this guy, is the Gap, really quickly, let's talk about it for two more minutes because I missed last week's show. Is this it's a downloadable app. It's not a SaaS.
It's a full application, full download, free.
Download. It's not online. Mm-hmm. He should have put it online. He'd get more.
Yep.
He should put it online. No, somebody's going to make a fortune by putting something like that online. is what's
where it's multi-browser cloud and go that way.
Someone's gonna do it, and someone's gonna make a fortune. Yep. It's just a matter of who's gonna do it first. Because I'm not gonna do it. I don't know how to do it.
That's it.
Someone's gonna do it.
That's it. So okay, again, that'll be up for another show. But we want to say thank you to Robert Peters from GlobalCaching.eu, and we're going to see about having Robert on a thick accent or not. Hey, we got somebody from Chicago,
Robert,
here. We're used
amazing.
To thick accent.
He has a thick accent. Where's he from?
Netherlands, I believe.
Oh.
Yeah.
So I think that'll be a lot of fun. All right, let's move on. Geocaching Podcast, episode 376, November, Cacher Coffee. We got several topics to talk about tonight, and some of them are, well, like normal Cacher Coffee. It's all over the place. Some we have already in from our chat room, but the first one I wanted to talk about, and I referred to it earlier in the beginning of the show, I had the pleasure of meeting up with about 35 other geocachers this last Saturday for a geocaching event. Now, I've talked about this on and off for the past year or so. We're going to have the first North Carolina Civil War Geo Trail going into effect, and it's going to be starting on March 14th next year, so 2015. For this, it deals with literally 150-plus geocaches set up in 50 cache trails. And when I say trails, it's not like it's a line. It's not a power trail kind of thing. Okay. They're kind of clustered in certain areas. Some are in the East Coast. Some are in the Piedmont, which is the center section, and some are up in the mountains. And all of them are going to be historically related to everything in North Carolina when it comes to the Civil War. And it's the beauty of it is that it's not all they're not difficult caches. These are not hard 5.5 type of geocaches. These are ones that are out there that are made more for teaching people about the historic values of the areas that they're in. And so on Saturday, I actually went to an event where we actually created over 150 geocaches. And the lady that started this off was, she's an amazing person, a great geocacher. She does so much for the geocaching community, isn't funny. And her name's Tater Tot. And she is just a sweet, wonderful person who put all this together. And you know what? I didn't think it was possible. When she said, well, we're going to make 150 geocaches, I'm like, yeah, right. It wasn't the best day for weather, but they had 10 by 20 tents that were set up with kerosene heaters so that when you had on the tables that were set up in these things, the geocaches were able to dry.
Were you painting
a lot quicker?
Why were they,
because
drying,
of these kerosene heaters? Plus, nobody went up in flames, which was great. That's a plus. Now, this is interesting. They were based originally off of the West Virginia, who also had a Civil War geo trail set up. I think it was last year. And they've been doing a lot of research with other geo trails in other states to see what worked, what didn't work. Now, the way West Virginia worked it is they had these styrofoam containers made to look like rocks. And carved in the bottom inside of the styrofoam was a regular-sized lock and lock box. Looked awesome. Great concept, except for one thing. It didn't wake. They put them out, and within a very short amount of time, they deteriorated completely.
Why would they deteriorate?
As much to the point that they actually had to shut down the geo trail until they figure out another way to make some.
Oh, man.
Yeah. So it's something with the styrofoam and the inclement weather. They just didn't last. They just weren't durable enough to survive what they thought would have, no problem. So there was cracking. There was shedding. Pieces were going all over the place. And it wasn't a good experience, let's put it that way, for all of that. Tater Tot actually talked to several different states to see what was working for them and what wasn't. The final conclusion, and a lot of people are going to go, what? the final conclusion for durability, for keeping against inclement weather, the ultimate response was PVC pipe.
Mm-hmm.
So what they ended up doing is probably about a foot long, give or take, of, I would say, 4-inch PVC pipe. They capped the one end. They put that other cap that has the kind of a square bolt on the top of it for that. Waterproofed it as best you can. Now, one thing we have always learned about PVC pipe is it is the worst waterproof thing that you can put out there. Especially because of the spiral screw part on the top. Water still manages to get into there. Well, what they ended up doing is, knowing this, inside they put another container that all the stuff, the logbook, all the rest of that stuff is actually in another container that goes into the PVC pipe. So the PVC pipe itself is actually the host as opposed to the actual, as opposed to the container. So within 5 hours, 4 hours, plus one heck of a lunch, they know how to cook down here, I'm telling you what. We had this fantastic time of making, we had a system down that just works so great as far as painting, adding the stencils, gluing everything together, putting everything in place. While we're doing all that stuff on the outside, we had another whole contingent that was putting the containers together that would go inside the PVC pipe, getting the log butts cut, having all the documentation that's involved with it. Everything's in. So it's a professionally made geocache, and we made over 150. So it's awesome. Now they've got, they've already have all the places where they're going to actually put the containers.
How many are going out?
Now that since they're actually made, people are starting to actually hide them now in preparation of when this thing gets.
I think you guys would make like 175.
Goes into effect next year.
Just to like have a bunch of extras.
150. Oh, they've got extras. Matter of fact, there's several of them. Yeah, they actually have several. Believe it or not, they do have some that are not necessarily part of the trail, but they're kind of like add-ons to it. So there actually is more than 150 with that. So it's going to be something to see. And again, March 14th is when everything gets going. I'll have a few more details just before it starts off because there's some main huge events that are going to be involved with this. So it's going to be a lot of fun. Really cool stuff. All right, let's see, moving on. Over the next couple of weeks, we are going to have several geocachers coming on who are interested in becoming hosts for the show. And next week, we're going to have Dudley Grunt on. And I figured before we got into that, it's been a while since we've actually had some discourse with between ourselves as far as geocaching goes. And I thought it would be kind of cool for me to ask questions to you guys and vice versa. And we already had some people from the show, from the chat room, that sent in a couple of questions as well. And since it's Cache Your Coffee, what a better time to go and talk about some things about geocaching just to and fro. So well, let's start off from Montana CPR Guy, who happens to be one of the people that are interested in being a host. So I don't know if this is set up or not, but I'm just saying. He had some questions for us, and we'll start off with this. What is the coolest cache you have ever found?
Wow.
Coolest cache you have ever found?
11-4, somewhere in there. Oh, my God.
Go for it. What's, I mean, Scott, you've only got, what, 10,000? How many?
I got to think. Corey, you go. Let me think for
There's got to be one in there somewhere.
Corey. Really? I mean, it's...
All right. Mr. Corey, how about yourself? I didn't know I was going to play stump the panel with this kind of stuff.
No, you're not stumping the panel. I was just trying to pick it up here. Okay. I'm trying to show it up here. There we go. There we go. That's Bob. It's not a very good picture.
I remember
but...
when you first came on the show telling us about Bob. I like that.
Yeah. Bob the Tin Man. Well, because it was one of those, it's one of those things where you know, when we were moving up to Montana, they had, the geocaching.com did a spotlight about it, and I was so excited because it was near mm-hmm. where I was going to find it, you know, where we were moving. And I mean, he's like 5.5 feet, and he's completely made out of ammo cans. And Bob, a.k.a. the Tin Man, he's just cool because he's just standing on the side of the road. And it, I mean, it's obvious. But it's just a very good, great creation. And, I wish I was able to get to meet the chap who created him sometime. He's got a couple of them that are very creative. He's also got a Ulmer's can of beans, which is just huge. It's the size of a 55 gallon.
I found a really cool one I think I've talked about this on the show before.
Awesome. Mr. Central Scott,
Illinois.
You got one here?
I was with a cashier, J3 Yoda, and we were in the middle of Central Illinois. I mean, which is just middle of nowhere. And, I mean, you know, we're talking like, you know, not even, I mean, rocky roads, you know, not even, you know, paved roads. And we were hitting caches, you know, somebody laid out caches every mile, you know, we were just picking them up, and we didn't see another car for like 6 hours, you know, just middle of nowhere. And I'm looking at the map, and I see about 3 miles to the west of us is a large, and I'm like, I have to know what a large looks like in the middle of freaking nowhere. And so we deviated, we went to the large, and it was a freaking silo. It was an abandoned silo was the container. An abandoned silo was the container. And you opened up the silo, this big, the big door, and in it was just toys and junk in the silo.
Wow.
Yeah, it was awesome. I mean, that's one of the cooler ones I've seen, you know, something like that. But that one always sticks out just because, like middle of nowhere, there's a silo in the middle of nowhere.
Nice.
And then, like, it's abandoned, and somebody made a cache out of it, which is also brilliant. You know, but I really love the electronic ones. Those are always my favorites. You know, there's one in Chicago where it's you know, Chicago used to have what are they called? San Francisco has them, the trolleys. You know, in the city. Yeah, Chicago used to have those back in the 40s, and near one of the the trolley stations, there's like few stations that are still active in Chicago. They're still standing, and one of them's got an electronic box there for the trolleys. And some cashier manipulated it where you need a battery, and if you stick the battery in and you push the button, it opens up and the cash is there. But you have to bring a battery with you. It's stuff like that. I absolutely love those. Those kind of interesting ones. Of like that, yeah.
You're going to have to go down to West Virginia and check out WV Tim's. They've got several.
Those are some of my favorite
gadget
stuff.
What about you, down Andy? There? That I went to the one last earlier in the year.
Mm-hmm.
You will get blown away. It's amazing. Yeah, the one that I have that it wasn't because it was called Earth, Wind, Fire, Water. And it was actually a 5.5. And I went together with probably 25 other people when we did this. And normally I don't like working with large groups when it comes to geocaching because you don't get the experience like you normally do with just a couple of people. But I went along because it was a 5.5, and I really was interested in this particular cache. It was one of the ones that is well known in North Carolina. And it wasn't because it hit with all the phobias. Because you went up high areas, you went into dark, damp, creepy areas, you went into, every phobia that you could possibly think on here. The part that I thought was so funny was that the thing that stopped 30 different geocachers in their tracks was a math question.
Well, was it like a fifth grade math question?
It was just funny to see the realization of everybody kind of stop and go. Anybody got an answer for this? Anybody know? Yeah, it was something that dealt with and it was just funny to see. Everybody was go, great, here we go. Boom. And just hit everything dead stop. And so yeah, that's why I always sit there and say, how do you stop 30 geocaches in their tracks? Give them a math question. It was just a great experience. We laughed afterwards, had a good time. They still talk about it. It's a lot of fun.
Best cache I ever put out.
All right, let's see. What was the best cache you ever put out?
I have two really good series. My web design series, which is teaches you web design. It's five
puzzles. Ever actually hid.
Which is, you know, one's HTML, one's CSS, and you have to learn it in order to solve it. The other one is my my 80s movie cache series, which is the John Hughes series. John Hughes filmed all his movies in Chicago, and so I take you to different places where he filmed the movies, like Breakfast Club and Weird Science and stuff like that. Yeah, those are my two, I think. You know, people seem to enjoy those series.
Well, that's cool. That's awesome. Mr. Corey, anyone for you?
I'm a wee lad. my favorite cache would be a bison tube in a tree that I placed, and called Disintegrator made me do it. It was Disintegrator's another cacher friend of mine, and we put our heads together and we hung a bison tube in a tree. And it's a replica of the bison tube.
How big's the
tree?
Made
out of 6-inch PVC. Okay. And it's probably about 4 feet long. it's a huge tree hanging on the side of a cliff. It's a 4.5x5 because you actually have to climb out to this tree on a dead log and get down, and the little keychain part is actually, you know, we made a huge one that's probably, you know, 12-18 inches around, and we hooked that actually around that log, so you have to pull it up and unscrew the whole thing, and in there's another canister that you have to open up and get it. And it took two of us to put it out there, so we've had people who I've actually had two people place throwdowns because I couldn't find it.
Holy cow.
Right.
So it's quite funny because they're looking for a bison tube in the tree, and it's got them completely blindsided.
And, what color is your bison tube, just out of curiosity?
Oh, it's camoed. It's green, black, and so it's camoed to match the tree.
Is this a pine tree?
But it's hanging out below them because it's on this cliff ledge, and so they're looking up and they're looking all over. And in the winter, you can kind of see it because it's not as camouflaged in the winter. No, it's not. It's a leaf tree, but a lot of people don't climb up there in the winter just because it gets colder and nobody wants to climb. But
and the guarantee of death helps.
Just the word cliff.
Well, no, I mean it's not that treacherous, but I mean it's down there in St. George, Utah, where it's, you know, they don't get much snow at all.
Oh, is that all? That'll break a bone.
Yeah, that's all it needs.
It's been there for 3 years.
I live in Illinois. We don't have cliffs.
I mean, it's only like 10, 12 feet. I mean, it's not. So, I mean,
just some slight maiming. That's, come on.
And so, yeah.
Sure.
So
absolutely.
I've only got about a dozen people out there who've actually gone out there and claimed it, so.
Yeah, but that's art. I mean, come on, that's good stuff. Okay, for me, the best cache that I ever put out was probably the one that has been found the least. There was a whole series that I put out that literally I'm gonna actually have to redo. It went out, and the idea was to have a geocaching series where you had geocaches in each of the different listing sites. And there are five geocaches out there, and it was called There Be Dragons Here.
There Be Dragons.
And I spent a small fortune making, creating, designing, filling, hiding the whole shot. And I would say each geocache, and I'm not underestimating, was probably somewhere in the between the customized plastic ammo box. I mean, these weren't cheap ones. These are the heavy-duty ones. The different items that I put with them, probably $50, including the swag for each one. that I went into making these things.
They were cool.
I mean, they were sweet. And they are gorgeous. They're beautiful. The one that's on geocaching.com is being found continuously. Nobody has looked at any of the other ones since, except for maybe one person. I'm like, are you kidding me? So what I'm going to probably do before the snow flies, the leaves are coming down, now's the time to go find them. I'm going to pull the other ones, and I'm going to make the series somewhere where I'm just going to put it on geocaching.com and go that way.
Sure.
No, you can't.
Yeah, you think.
And that's the thing. But I was hoping that it would cause some interest to go to each of the listing sites and go, these aren't so bad. Why not do that as well?
She had to put a bunch of caches out. I don't think I'm open caching in another site. I mean, they haven't been found at all. I mean, nothing. You know, not even FTF'd. You know, nothing. Yeah. Oh, really? Nothing. Nothing. Yeah.
Yeah, mine's been out for over a year now. Yeah, nothing. So
they've weathered in. Don't even touch
actually,
them.
Actually, I'm very
just,
curious
put
to
them
see
on gc.com
well,
and just they're like make them
over,
a five difficulty.
A year and a half
those things
now,
are probably so weathered.
How well
in.
They've held up.
Exactly.
I wish
they become part of the scene.
I wish. We'll have to see. So anyways, we'll fill you in on that as well. All right, guys. Well, I think that's pretty much all we're going to have for tonight. There's tons of more questions and other subjects, and we'll bring that up on the next
getting ready for the winter.
Cash or coffee as well.
I just got a new
cache.
I just bought a new caching code over the weekend, too. So I'm I went to the Army Surplus. Oh, my caching
code
is just total.
Get yourself ready.
It's got rips all over it just from, you know, the tree branches and whatnot. So
dress warm.
Finally went to the Army Surplus.
Did you really?
So, Getting ready for the winter. Oh yeah.
Oh yeah. You have to. It's that time of year, and I'll tell you what. If you guys are in the areas where the snow starts getting deep and whatever, you're gonna have to get those geocaches ready before the snow flies, because it's a lot easier doing it now than in a couple of months or weeks when you can't.
Yep.
Wow. All right, final note. Next week, geocacher Dudley Grunt's going to be on. We're looking forward to talking to Dave Self about that. It's going to be a lot of fun. All right, let's move on. Thank you for subscribing to the Geocaching Podcast. Thanks to Lisa from cache-advance.com. Please be sure to join us each and every Wednesday at 9:30 p.m. Eastern Time for another episode of the Geocaching Podcast, right here on the Geocaching Podcast website at www.geocachingpodcast.com/live. The video version of our show is available on YouTube, and the audio version is available on our home website, iTunes, Stitcher, and many of your favorite podcatchers. We love hearing from our viewers and listeners, so please visit us through our social media sites or contact us via our voicemail line at 630-31-VOICE. The Geocaching Podcast is a Head Hard Hat production and is produced by Andy Smith, Scott Burks, and Corey Stevens. This show is copyright 2014 by Andrew T. Smith. All rights reserved.
Clear.